Hello, everyone. You are listening to End Credits Radio Show here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus, and Community Radio. I am your host, Adam A. Donaldson, and joining me today is...
Peter Salmon.
Peter, who is refreshed from the exam period that has just passed.
Which is finally over. Finally over. Campus was totally dead today. Felt fresh.
Yeah, it's nice to get everyone out of here. That's something, you know, that only people hang around all summer and really care. Anyway, we're hanging around all summer. Anyway, End Credits is a local movie show for local movie fans, and you can find us here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. to talk the latest pop culture and review the newest movies, which this week will be the new comedy Super Troopers 2. That is in the back half of the show. For the first half of the show, we are going to dispense with the usual news to talk about summer movies. I know that it's just kind of started to feel like spring.
Mm-hmm. Like today's the first day.
Yeah, almost. I mean, it was
first true day.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. It's just it's a bit bizarre to talk about summer movies, but it's funny to, you know, be out and about and seeing snow on the ground in some places still. You know, it's melting fast, but it's still there. But then you're reminded that next week is the start of summer movie mm-hmm. season because. Or this week, I should say, because Avengers Infinity War comes out on Friday.
And it's already summer break, right, for students, so.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Infinity War, I mean, that's kind of what we typically think about when summer
we'll
movies.
We'll start it, yeah.
Big, loud, superhero sequels, franchises, the whole shebang. But there is life outside of those things at the movie theater. And so we set about the task for ourselves to come up with a list of 5 summer movies coming out that we are looking forward to or that sound interesting that are not franchises or sequels or remakes. Tough. Actually, not as tough as I thought. Actually, not as tough as I thought it was going to be. Actually, it was not tough to find these movies, but it was tough to narrow it down to a list of 5.
Yeah, I was trying to exclude books. Movies.
You went hardcore.
Movies not based around books, so that made it quite difficult. And I didn't include Netflix ones. That probably would have made it a lot easier.
Interesting. I don't think I had any Netflix on mine either, but no disrespect for Netflix. But anyway. Peter, you tell us your first pick.
My first pick was Action Point. directed by Tim Kirkby.
I specifically chose not to choose that one.
Yeah, you thought I would?
I thought you would.
Yeah, it was the first trailer for when we were seeing Super Troopers. I have known about it for a while. Mm-hmm. Anybody who was a fan of Jackass, Wild Boys, Viva the Bam, Bam's Unholy Union, any of that jazz, and you'll enjoy this. It isn't by Jackass. It's not directed by Jeff Tremaine, but it is Johnny Knoxville mm-hmm. and Chris Pontius and all the stunts. At least by those two, are fully real. It's literally just a small plot about someone. He meets his daughter for the first time in a while. There's a bigger roller coaster park by him. He wants his roller coaster park to be better, so he just makes it as dangerous as he possibly can. And it literally is pretty much just like Jackass, like Bad Grandpa in the sense there's a small, true plot. The rest is just stunts after stunts. I think there was 3 shots of Chris Pontius getting his... I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, his nutsack kicked and numerous other things.
We'll be fine.
So it was just, you know, if you liked Jackass, you'll like this. If you liked Bad Grandpa too, I think it's Johnny Knoxville's quite great at morphing real stunts and a true plot line.
And he's like 46.
He is, if
years
not older,
old,
yeah.
47.
And I think I read the one interview. I think he broke at least 1 bone during this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's continuing to go for it.
Yeah, I did see that trailer before Super Troopers, and I did laugh a couple of times.
Yeah, so yeah.
It makes me wonder if, because I think the story's phrased that he's telling his granddaughter about this park he had in the 80s, and the couple of scenes you see, he does something to like hurt himself, and she laughs, and mm-hmm. so I'm wondering if like maybe there's a subplot about how his granddaughter's a sociopath. I don't know.
That possibly. He realizes she enjoys watching him get hurt, and that's his sole reasoning. Possibly. I also do love how the old him looks exactly like the bad grandpa. Looks like maybe like a 5-year younger version of the old grandpa.
It's funny because when I didn't know anything about this movie and then I saw that trailer and I was like, where do I know that actor from? So that's
yeah,
a good
that
point,
was my number one pick.
Yeah, my number one is also about people getting hurt, albeit in a not funny way. It is Hereditary, which is a horror movie, and it has been making the rounds. It was just at the Overlook Film Festival, which takes place at where they filmed the Overlook Hotel and The Shining. And it was also at Sundance, so that's a really good pedigree for a horror movie like this. I mean, I think it's the same track that The Witch followed, because oddly enough, this comes from the same studio that released The Witch. And if you watch the trailer itself will like give you nightmares. And from everything I'm hearing from people who know horror movies, they are not only calling this like one of the best movies of the year, but maybe one of the best horror movies ever.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's, you know, the hype is already high for those of us who sort of keep our eye out for strange and unusual things. It's about, a family matriarch who passes away, and, then strange things start happening. Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne star, and there's this new girl named Millie Shapiro, who you will not have seen in any movies. Her work so far has been mainly in New York theater. But if you can imagine it, I read in the comment section on the YouTube, where they had the trailer on YouTube, somebody said she looks like Dustin from Stranger Things' sister. Mm. So it's that image is kind of stuck in my head. But she's really, really good in the trailer, at least. And that between that and the hype from hardcore horror movie fans, like saying like this is gonna, you know, rule. You will enjoy this in all the best ways you can enjoy a horror movie. Of course, we're in the middle of a horror movie renaissance too. We have The Quiet Place come out.
Well, that's what I was thinking. People seem to be trying harder to actually. Yeah. Make their horror film get good reviews.
Yeah.
And actually, like, terrify you. And not, like, a jump on your chair, like, because of a loud sound type of scare. Mm-hmm. Like, an actual deep nightmare type of horror film.
Yeah, and these are, you know, this is also the same studio that released It Comes at Night, which was not as big. But it was still fairly successful in terms of horror movies going. You can watch that one on Netflix right now. So, I mean, these are people who, at A24, are pushing the boundaries. And, I'm really excited to see it. I hope this isn't a situation where the hype gets away from the movie and you finally get to see the movie. And
would this one be coming to big screens?
Yes,
or,
this is June. I think it's coming out in limited release, but then it will follow with probably a fuller release. It's a long one, too. It's like 2 hours long. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes long. So I would keep my eye out on the bookshelf calendar. Maybe it'll show up there. It might even be at one of the Galaxy movies, too, because It Comes at Night was at one of the Galaxies when it came out last summer. So
the Guelph Woodlawn one plays a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number two pick.
Number two, I picked Eighth Grade. upcoming indie, I'm assuming comedy. When I picked it, it's Bo Burnham. I was thinking of Bill Burr when I picked it. I don't love Bo Burnham, but it still looks like it'll be a pretty good film. I think, actually, Bo Burnham is probably more popular with people college age, people my generation. So
sure.
It'll be popular in that sense. The one thing I was curious about, it's about an eighth grade student and one worried about going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the good thing about it being by Bo Burnham is he's pretty young. Like, he's like my age. So that was pretty recent for him going from middle school to high school. So he knows how it feels, especially for, like, the current generation. And, you know, I think nowadays it could be a really just cheesy kids film, but there's films nowadays, Edge of 17, you know, things like that are just about high school life, about puberty, Lady Bird, for example, But they're actually, like, you know, trying hard to make a good film about it. So I think this one has the possibility of getting good reviews, and, you know, a lot of eighth grade people can relate to it, or a lot of people, you know, millennials that have recent memories of that.
You know a lot of eighth grade people?
No, I do not, but I can.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You can relate.
I can relate.
You're closer to eighth grade than
I am. Yeah, yeah. But I think probably most people enjoy this. He's usually a funny and popular man.
Yeah.
I am curious what he's like at directing.
Yeah, I think I know these guys, both of these guys, in sort of like passing when they're like comedy specials are promoted. Mm-hmm. I'm not well versed on the stand up scene, admittedly, but could be good. My second pick is something I mentioned at our end of the year show last year, something I was looking forward to in 2018. It is The Meg, which is the Jason Statham versus Giant Shark movie based on a book. So maybe that's why I didn't make your list. But it is, you know, it's exactly as it advertised. There's a trailer out there right now. That basically shows Jason Statham in a submersible, like getting chased around by a shark. Actually, the trailer starts out with a really great scene where there's a little girl and it's in like a sort of like little abyss, undersea base. She's like in, looks like a habit trail for people. And so she's wandering through the hallway and she looks behind her and you see coming out of the murk. This giant shark that kind of looks at her and then tries to bite the habit trail to get at her. And then everybody comes along and they see the giant teeth marks in the tubing. And that's how the trailer starts. And then from there, it's just like Statham, you know, like it's a Megalodon.
Statham after Statham. Well, I haven't seen him in anything in a while. So that's,
yeah, no, he's I'm worried. You know, my only concern is like it's going to be. Because he's clearly playing someone with scientific knowledge, so I'm worried it's going to be like a Gerard Butler at Geostorm situation.
No.
Where I'm going to be asked immediately to believe Jason Statham is a scientist rather than like the janitor of the...
He should be the action man, yeah.
Yeah, like LL Cool J in Deep Blue Sea, who was the cook. Yeah, so that's like my only concern. But it co-stars Lee Bang Bang, Cliff Curtis, Ruby Rose, and Rainn Wilson. If Rainn Wilson, like Rainn Wilson's doing his Rainn Wilson thing, so if like he doesn't die a horrible Megalodon feeding death in it, I'm going to be very disappointed. And it's John Turteltaub, who people probably best know from the National Treasure movies. And if he can like make something... He
makes fun movies.
Yeah, if he can make something entertaining out of like Nicolas Cage standing around like... trying to figure out the riddles of the American Revolution and how they lead to treasure. I think he can handle giant sharks. And, you know, we get one good shark movie every summer, I think. We had The Shallows, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And 47 Meters Down, which it's on my list on Netflix, but I haven't seen it yet. But, yeah, good. Shark movies are fun.
Yeah, especially Sharknado? Or would you disagree?
No. Okay, my problem with Sharknado is it's...
Like, ruining the shark industry? Shark scene?
It is ruining the shark scene. No, it's too self-aware of how terrible it is. It's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like bad movies are bad. Like The Room, the Tommy Wiseau, The Room.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how bad it is when he's making.
But
it.
But once you try to make it bad,
right?
It's
and
just...
and it's become now it's become a thing where they're trying to top themselves with every new Sharknado entry, and it's like. You know, I'm glad Ian Ziering and Tara Reid are getting yearly work. That's nice, but. They're not a real shark movies.
Yeah.
Try harder, guys. Number three.
Number three for me, Dog Days.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I'm a dog lover. I love dogs. Like, as pets, I'm not a dog lover. Anyways.
Nobody was thinking that. Oh, my goodness.
So, and also, I picked it because, like the previous one with Bo Burnham, it's directed by comedian Ken Marino.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it interesting that in, like, the past few years, that's just become more and more of a popular thing. Like James Franco just started as, you know, a comedic actor himself, and now he's directing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Marino, Eva Longoria, who I haven't seen anything in a while.
Yeah, except hair dye commercials.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I don't count those.
gotta eat, man.
A lot of other comedians I really like. Lauren Lapkus. She's... people would mostly know her from Comedy Bang Bang and different podcasts like that.
Mm-hmm.
A huge one. Tig Notaro is going to be in it. It's been a while since I've seen her in a film. You know, she's mostly been doing the stand-up. It'll be nice seeing her in something, especially after the Louis incident and that kind of being why she was a focus, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When she's just a funny comedian by herself.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that and Thomas Lennon, who I also like, from The State, MTV's The State.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally just directed by a comedian. Everyone starring in it is a comedian. If you want to laugh and you love dogs, this is the film for you. And yeah, that's the only information about the film thus far.
Ken Marino. Okay.
Oh, he's
I'm trying to.
He's like the detective in Veronica Mars.
Yeah, he's not the other PI.
He's the other PI.
He's the other PI, Vinny.
Yeah, he as well is an MTV state guy.
He's good. He's funny.
He's a funny man.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had the right guy in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, my number three is The Happy Time Murders, which is kind of, it sounds bizarre, but it is kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with puppets.
Okay.
It's about a world where puppets and people coexist, although puppets are second-class citizens, like kind of like the Toons in Toontown in Roger Rabbit. And it follows a puppet private investigator named Phil Phillips, who is trying to solve his brother's murder at the hands of a serial killer, a puppet killer, who is targeting cast members of an old-time kids show called Happy Time. So you got a lot of, this has also a lot of great comedic actors in it, like Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, Joel McHale. Cool. And it's directed by Brian Henson, who is the inheritor of his father's Muppet empire, Jim Henson. And so he hasn't had a lot of success directing. He's directed a couple of the latter Muppet movies, not the ones since Disney bought it, but like things like Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh, okay.
He knows how to direct puppets. but the main character is played by Bill Beretta, who has been with the Henson Company since, I think, 91. So he's done a lot of Muppeteering. He doesn't do Kermit or anyone major, but he does like the shrimp, Pepe the Shrimp.
Oh, and, I like the shrimp.
And the bear, I can't remember the bear's name.
Fozzie?
Not Fozzie, it's another bear character.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a newer character. So, you know, this is kind of like the right sort of pedigree. I hope the tone is right. I don't think there's been a trailer released yet. There's only kind of like a single still of like a puppet in a trench coat looking like the puppet version of Humphrey Bogart. But I have kind of high hopes that it's, you know, it might be akin to one of the better episodes of Angel, which was Smile Time, where Angel gets turned into a puppet. So, you know, if it manages to reach that plateau, I think I would be very satisfied. But I mean,
it's a fun attempt, I guess. I've never seen a film like that where it's, you know, half real people and then Muppets. Not Muppets. No.
But I mean, like, consciously address that. Yeah. Because, you know, when you see the Muppet movies, they're kind of like integrated into the world, and there's no one consciously calls like Kermit the Frog in those movies, "You're just a puppet," which I imagine there might be some degree of let's call it puppet racism in this.
Yeah.
it's definitely going to be something different, and you know, it may be a noble failure, but I'm going to be anxious to see this and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. So, number four.
I picked Mile 22, which is an upcoming, I think it's going to be a pretty big blockbuster one. I don't think it's going to get reviews, but like the other one we were talking about, I think it'll be fun. I was looking at the wrong one. Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, right, will be the central character.
Nice.
And John Malkovich. And Ronda Rousey.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's going to be action, action, action. And it's really just about a CIA agent needing to get someone from a foreign country and then saving them and getting them to America from that foreign country. That's the basic plot. It's those three who I love and who are great at action films. So I'm going to watch it. I'm going to eat some popcorn, and I think it's going to be great. Even if it's got 0% of Rotten Tomatoes, it's going to be enjoyable. I also haven't seen John Malkovich in quite a while.
So. Yeah, he's been laying low.
I think it'll be like Mark Wahlberg's Patriots Day, where like I won't know anyone who sees it or liked it, but it will make enough money, and I, as an individual, will probably see it.
I think that's the first and only time someone will compare this to Patriots Day. but yeah, I like Marky Mark.
Malkovich. It's by director Peter Berg.
Oh, is it Peter Berg?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What work has he done before?
He did Patriots Day.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
so
you go.
Patriots Day, Blackwater Horizon, or Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, okay.
Like, he does a lot of these serious movies.
With Mark Wahlberg.
But, I mean, he also did Peter Berg also did The Rundown, too.
This one could end
Dwayne Johnson movie. Dwayne Johnson's first big movie, I mean, aside from Scorpion King, but.
Okay. Could be less of just a blockbuster than I thought, and could be more of, you know, actually get
there could be
attention.
Something there.
Yeah, more than just money. It might make more than just
money. This isn't going to be one of those like Bruce Willis direct to Netflix things. Anyway.
you always talk about those. What Bruce Willis films are these?
Just look up Bruce, like, it's like, okay, we're gonna pause our list to talk about.
I don't see that many ads for them. Like, they don't come up on popular on Netflix.
But that's the thing, Bruce Willis.
You'd think they'd be popular.
Okay, I get the sometimes. Okay, here's some offerings from Bruce Willis's recent IMDb. Tell me which one of these you've heard of. Death Wish, you've probably heard of.
Yes.
That was released in theaters. How about Acts of Violence?
Oh.
First Kill.
No.
Once Upon a Time in Venice.
No.
Split, you probably heard of because he did
Split, I've heard of. Yeah, that's the M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Marauders, yeah.
No, not Marauders.
Precious Cargo.
No.
Extraction.
No. Okay, so he's
Vice.
Kind of no.
The Prince.
Prince sounds familiar.
Okay. Well, that's been Bruce Willis's last 4 years.
Okay. So, yeah, he's doing the Netflix thing. That's too bad I'm not seeing it on the trending or popular on Netflix then.
Shocker. My number four is RBG, which is a documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, mm-hmm. who is one of the long-serving Supreme Court justices in the U.S. Supreme Court anyway. She is only the second woman to ever been named to the Supreme Court after Sandra Day O'Connor. So, I mean, she's become kind of a folk hero because she's fairly left-leaning, progressive, and obviously because of her status as the second woman on the Supreme Court. And just, you know, for her perseverance and for the fact that she's 84 years old, still very spry, still very healthy. She did a bit a couple of weeks ago with Colbert, where she was working out with Stephen Colbert.
Oh.
and, I mean, it's very timely, too, because a lot of people are suspecting she's probably key to retire.
Because she still is working for
she's
them.
She's still on the Supreme Court, yeah. And it's a lifetime appointment, so you can choose mm-hmm. when to leave or choose to die with your gavel in your hand, as it were. But she's, you know, 84, so maybe she'd like to wind down, but a lot of people are encouraging her to stay the course, at least until the current presidential term passes.
Yeah.
So it's a very timely film, and it comes from Magnolia, who release a lot of great documentaries and CNN films, which, you know, despite your feelings about CNN as a news agency, actually does a really good job with their docs. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And that was another Sundance pick. So, I think
hopefully coming to a TIFF or at least bookshelf
or bookshelf.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So I think a lot of politicos and
that's great timing for it, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic timing. For
absolutely.
It.
That brings us to number five.
All right. I picked Skyscraper.
Uh-huh.
I was sort of surprised
Speaking
you didn't
of
pick
Johnson.
It.
Yeah, it was on the honorable mentions.
Yeah. so it's going to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I picked it is, and I think I've already talked about her too much, but Neve Campbell is going to be in it. And you know, this is Guelph CFRU. She's from Guelph, John F. Ross CBI, so I got to give her credit. I think her grandma still lives here or something. Mm-hmm. Anyways, plot summary. Dwayne The Rock Johnson lives in Hong Kong. He lives in a sort of dread-like huge apartment building, but inside the apartment building, it's its whole own society. It's like a higher class separated from everyone else. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, their head security guard, and he tells them, yo, we got to make some more bigger walls, stronger walls. People could come in. Everyone's just like, nah, be chill. We're all good. And then huge explosion. All of the blame is pushed towards Dwayne The Rock and him and his wife, Neve Campbell from mm-hmm. Guelph, have to deal with it and they have to save the day. And I'm assuming haven't seen it, but they probably do save the day.
Yeah.
And I just think it seems fun. It's almost like dystopian-esque. It's a different world, and I've never seen Dwayne The Rock in one like that.
Yeah, and he's former army or something, but he lost his leg, and that's a,
yes,
a plot
he lost
point
the limb,
is that
yes.
he has a prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
this was one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
because, I mean, yeah, Dwayne Johnson, I mean, he was able, I did not have high hopes for Rampage. I still haven't seen Rampage, but, you know, he.
It didn't do as commercially successful as I thought either. I think it was like number three.
This past weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in two or three.
Yeah, I think, but Super Troopers was above it.
I'd have to check that, but yeah. I mean, it was, you know, the point is Quiet Place, the small movie about a family that can't talk.
It remade
is number one.
Yeah.
Versus the big Dwayne Johnson. But I mean, having said that, I think a lot of people embrace that. I think by and large because of Dwayne Johnson. I mean, the trailer ends with him jumping from a crane, onto the building. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's going to be the kind of the key stunt. Although I think somebody on Twitter kind of posted the math about covering the distance, and it probably was not going to work in the character's favor. But
it's a different reality. The science and everything could be different.
But I mean, there was a movie last year where Dwayne Johnson like pushed a missile to the side, and
I was saying based on the trailer, it looks like quite similar to the one he was in 2 years ago, I think San Jose or San Andreas. San Andreas, yeah, yeah. It looks like a lot of exploding and falling down buildings.
Yeah, it's about Dwayne Johnson saving his family, which, maybe that's a fish. I don't know. Anyway, my number five is Tag, which is based on a true story. Actually, it was based on a Wall Street Journal article about a group of friends that played tag for 30 years. Like, they played the same game of tag for 30 years. And it stars Jeremy Renner, Ed Helms, John Hamm, Jake Johnson, Annabelle Wallace, Hannibal Buress, Isla Fisher, and Rashida Jones. So this is like a really big, well-established comedic cast. Even somebody like John Hamm, who's not well-known for his comedy, but has certainly got comedic leanings if you've ever seen his H&R Block commercials.
That and Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt, the Netflix.
That's
He's
right,
the,
too.
He's the cult leader, and
that's
quite
right.
Comedic.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was in one of the most recent Black Mirror.
Oh, what? Yeah, I haven't seen Black Mirror, but yeah.
He's dipping more and more into comedy, and I respect that with him. Prefer it to his Mad Men.
There was a movie I saw at TIFF years and years ago where he was in it. It was like during the Mad Men days. But I think it was called Friends with Kids. But there's a scene where a group of them, including John Hamm, are riding up in the elevator, and he's not taking part in the conversation at all. But he's just kind of like looking around the elevator, kind of like he's half in the bag, like he's high or something.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there laughing at it because I was like, I was hypnotized by whatever John Hamm was doing in this scene. But I mean, the star here is Jeremy Renner, who actually hasn't done a lot of comedy. I looked at his IMDb, and he did a cameo in The House, the Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler movie. But like the last time he like starred in like an out and out comedy is like his first IMDb credit, which was like National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Mm.
So Jeremy Renner is not. Maybe he wasn't offered the project. So it'll be interesting to see him in a comedic mold because he plays the guy who has never been tagged in 30 years and he's about to get married and retire from the game. And so everyone else is like, we got to get Jeremy Renner before he gets out of the game.
That is a very interesting plot.
Yeah. So it's also interesting that Jeremy Renner fractured his elbow and wrist during filming this and not in one of the two big superhero movies he also did last year. So, well, presumably, we haven't seen any footage of him in Infinity War. So.
Yeah, not yet.
So we come full circle and talking about Infinity War. So, I mean, yeah.
And Hannibal Buress and a lot of just great people.
Hannibal Buress is great, yeah. So it's I think that'll be worth checking out. I hope it's funny and we all need a good laugh.
Yeah.
So that is our list, and I mean, we're going to be covering all that through the summer. We'll maybe get to a few of them. Fingers crossed. Who knows when they move around release dates and things. You never know. But what I do know is that coming up next, we're going to talk about a new movie in theaters right now called Super Troopers 2. And to cue that up, we are going to blind you by the light. Because that's an inside joke from the movie. So this is Blinded by the Light. It is a cover by the Eagles Death Metal. It is from the Super Troopers 2 soundtrack. You are listening to End Credits here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. Chart to see if it was safe outside. And little early Pearly came by in his curly whirly and asked me if I needed a ride. The glide, we grabbed to the ground. Yeah, she was blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, you know.
Okay, this is happening.
Est-ce que vous savez à quelle vitesse vous allez?
Sorry.
Est-ce que vous savez à quelle vitesse vous allez?
We're from America. We don't speak French.
Oh. Vous conduisez trop vite.
Do neither of you speak English?
I do. Your papers. We would like to eat your papers.
Can you show me your party papers?
You want they to want see our party papers?
The party papers.
Oui. Bon vivant, bouillabaisse, cul-de-sac, laissez-faire, chicken cordon bleu.
Formidable, bâton rouge, noblesse oblige, au bon pain, château maman.
Croque, monsieur.
Croque, madame.
Non. Stupide.
Frère Jacques, grippe pour maquille de sa tourette.
Fédère d'Oster, croissant les misérables, first catcher, Luke Robitaille, D'Artagnan, Perrier, friend, Tarkin, ton peanut, poster, parfait.
Eau de toilette.
Eau de doudade.
I think that's all the French Americans know.
Yeah.
In one scene.
Yeah.
that was a clip from Super Troopers 2, and that is the new film from Jay Chandrasekhar. And it stars the Broken Lizard gang, including Chandrasekhar, Eric Solhosky, Steve Lemmy, Paul Soter, Kevin Heffernan, and it also co-stars Emmanuel Creakey, Rob Lowe, Linda Carter, Taylor Labine, and Brian Cox. I have many questions.
About the film?
Well, I gather you are a Super Troopers fan.
I really like Super Troopers, yeah. It's not my favorite Broken Lizard film. I'm just a fan of them in general. But
okay.
Yeah, no, the first Super Trooper is fantastic.
Okay. Did you watch the show?
The TV show?
Yeah.
Which TV show?
The Super Trooper show.
Oh, was it it was an animated one, wasn't it?
No, I think it was live action.
No, I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know of its existence.
Long story short is you didn't watch it, because I'm curious about Brian Cox.
Oh, he's in the original.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's in it. He's their sergeant.
Yes, that I did understand. I just
he's very central.
I'm trying
in the first
to understand
one.
How Brian Cox got here, but that's fine.
I don't know. He just likes comedies.
Okay.
I don't know. It's the same thing. Like with there's always a lot of like Milo Ventimiglia. He's like right. A-list TV guy, right?
Right.
He's been in the past like 3 Adam Sandler films. You know, it's
that's a good point.
It could be about money. Maybe the first Super Troopers was. No, I don't think you'd be able to make a lot of money through the first one, but...
I don't think it was about the money, because this was an Indiegogo campaign to get Super Troopers 2. I think they raised like $4 or $5 million to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you're right. Like, sometimes, like, really well-known actors do silly things. Alan Arkin was in the Jerky Boys movie, for example. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. okay.
He also could be... For all we know, like a stoner and just loves stoner films.
That would be hilarious if Brian Cox was a closet stoner.
Yeah.
Actually, that is one of my gripes with this. It's like
with the film.
Yeah, it was kind of billed as like the stoner comedy because it's coming out on 420, and there's an extended joke at the beginning about marijuana. I don't really think this is a stoner comedy, though. I think it's very...
it's not.
It's very narratively tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an hour and 40 minutes long, which I thought, like, that seems kind of long. Like, maybe about 15 minutes too long. I mean,
yeah.
That's a gripe. I didn't mind the extra time, because it was actually a fairly, you know, packed story with a lot of I can't believe I'll say this, nuance, but there are a lot of directions it's going in.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
At least I was surprised.
Yeah, there were.
I can't say why, but yeah.
Yeah, the whole, like, there, because the plot of the film is that there's this French-Canadian town on the Vermont border that they find out, according to old maps, was actually supposed to be part of the U.S., and so the super troopers who were fired between the last film and this film.
Yeah, and they show that after the credits, so people should stay after the credits. That happening is not mentioned in the first one. Maybe if there's a TV show, but
I was wondering that myself because they were talking about the French Savage incident throughout the film, and I'm like, is that how the TV show ended? Because I don't know, because I didn't watch a TV show. And then they showed it. That okay, nobody knows what the Fred Savage incident is until the stinger, so that's fine. That's another gripe. I feel like Fred Savage jokes are maybe about 10 or 15 years too late.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the joke, I guess. Hey, Ben Savage would have been more
Ben Savage, yeah.
He's currently in shows, so that would have been a bit more relatable. But I thought the Fred Savage thing. I think that they're like a comedy troupe, right? And they're doing their own style. I think that was probably just a joke they thought was funny, so they just kept it in.
Sure.
I think there's a few things like that.
There's a lot of that. There's the Flova Scotia gang.
I thought the Flova Scotia gang. I thought the gag itself was funny. I thought Jay's character was like fully revolved around that feminine product, and I thought that went a bit too far. I think that was the main recurring joke that I just thought was a little.
Yeah.
A little lame and
They took it too far, I think.
Well, and especially based on the Me Too and all the recent things like that. Yeah. It was just not, I guess, tasteful. It wasn't tasteful.
Yeah,
it
leaves kind of a bad taste.
Yeah. That was my only main flaw with this film, too. There was a couple, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think there was maybe a couple jokes that went too far.
Okay.
The one about the, what was it, the Calgary boat? Fire,
right?
I think it's Calgary, or
oh, you mean the Halifax one?
The Halifax one, yes.
You know what's fascinating about that, though, is that there was actually a controversy last year because they want to get a CFL team in Halifax, and what was one of the names they were considering? The Halifax Explosions.
No, see, that's...
So, I wonder...
Gordon Lightfoot is still alive, and, like, one of his most famous songs is around that. It's, like, one of Canada's biggest disasters.
It's one of the biggest man-made disasters ever.
And Rob Lowe is not Canadian, is he?
No, Rob Lowe isn't Canadian.
No, he is not Canadian. But, so, if they were going to pick any character to make that joke, why Rob Lowe?
Maybe he's already hated in Canada. I don't know what the statistics say. I don't know. But it's funny. I mean... That scene, and I remembered the CFL thing later on because I was like, I wonder, did they know about that, or did they write that in, or are they just like really on the same wavelength as like the CFL organizers in Halifax? But there's a lot of detail like that in the film. Like they did their Canada homework.
Mm. Oh, they
did. That I appreciate.
And the Halifax joke, like only Canadians would get it.
Yeah,
so I'm glad they put it in that sense.
But not only did he deliver the joke, but he actually explained the whole background of the explosion. Mm-hmm. And it's like they had to at least go to the Wikipedia page.
They had such a large amount of small little Canadian things only Canadians would know about, right? Yeah. For example, the one scene where they go to the Quebec escort.
Brothel.
They go to the brothel. they break. I didn't know until American shows and movies that was a thing in Quebec. And it's just in Twin Peaks, it's mentioned multiple times, and in this. So it is just nice that they do, like you said, just small little Canadian references.
And the whole, like, there's a recurring gang about the metric system.
Yes,
I
love that.
And it's not about, like, stupid Canadians using the metric system. Although there's, like, kind of a bit of that. There's the one gag where they're putting up the highway signs and he's converting everything into metric. That was kind of funny. But my favorite one is when they're trying to figure out what the temperature is in Fahrenheit. And one of the Mountie characters says, oh, you just... times it by 2, add 32, and join the rest of the human race.
I loved that. It's true, too. I think that myself. They got to get on that.
Yeah. The United States is one of three countries that still use imperial measures.
In the UK.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It is madness. But, I mean, that's the kind of... I mean, that's the kind of small inside like humor that. That makes you laugh.
Yeah, I am very glad, though, that it was... I think they also do know that of all the provinces, Canadians probably make fun of the Quebecois the most.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of jabs at French Canadians.
Yeah.
And the one French Canadian who was, you know, evil then ends up being from Ontario. So yes. There's another jab at the French Canadians.
Yeah, you think this character is one of the bad guys, and then it turns out that they're not bad. They're from Ontario, which is almost as big a crime in Quebec. A little bum cop, bad cop.
Yeah. I don't think I've even said this. I just want to say I did really like this film. I think a lot of people who like comedies, especially... Like you said, this isn't a stoner comedy, but like,
no.
If you like stoner comedies, you're going to love this too. Because it does center around that to a small degree. One thing I just want to say, I think it did a better job than a lot of sequel comedies thus far when it comes to, after like a decade, making a sequel for it.
Yeah.
I think it did a better job than Anchorman 2, Zoolander 2, don't tell my girlfriend, but Joe Dirt 2, definitely.
Joe Dirt 2?
Yeah, I think it came out 2014. It's because watching this, I felt the exact same way when I first watched it.
Okay.
I thought it kept up the exact same feeling of the characters in the troupe, but it ignited a bunch of new jokes and new styles and, like you said, went really deep into, like, you know, Canadian things, French-Canadian things, and a lot of little small tidbits. So the exact same characters from the original one, exact same feeling of the characters being together, fully new comedic devices and reoccurring jokes. Whereas Zoolander, Anchorman, they just repeat a lot of the jokes from the original ones. They do it for nostalgia, where Super Troopers 2 just followed along with Super Troopers and made a great comedy.
That's interesting. And because you make a good point about that there seems to be a shelf life for these comedic teams. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I can't... How long ago was Super Troopers 1? That was
the 2000s, the year 2001 or something.
Okay, so, you know, the fact that they were able to step in and kind of fill the shoes of their characters again and have the same camaraderie and the same chemistry. And it's interesting to hear that, you know, from the point of view of a fan, that it's because they move on and keep the things at work but realize that they can't do the same old jokes. But I think that also comes from the fact that this was a Indiegogo effort. This came from them
control.
Who, you know, they wanted to make a sequel. They know they have fans. Mm-hmm. Versus something that maybe like Zoolander or any of these movies where part of the decision is studio driven. It's like, we need to get a Zoolander 2 because the first one made so much money, or an Anchorman 2 because the first one made so much money. So, you know, there may be something more, it's just more overall organic where it came from. And I mean, it was my first Super Trooper experience.
Yeah. You should watch the first one. But their other ones are, Beer Fest is my favorite.
I think I did see Beer Fest. Lord knows I can't remember it. I like the Trooper characters, and I like the way they riff on each other. There's a bit where Favre, there's a scene where he's swallowing M&Ms and then later he's chewing pills, and some reason.
Yeah, there's small jokes everywhere, and the writers are great at that. And Kevin Heffernan's character, or Rod, is, in my opinion, by far the funniest. I think even if the only jokes were through him, I would still give this a positive-ish review.
Well, he's the kind of I want to say the D word, but he's kind of the black sheep of the crew. He's kind of the Frank Burns that everyone kind of scores cheap jokes off of. So he's a little more, let's say, bellicose.
Mm-hmm. And there was the one scene with him, Rod, and the main one, Jeff Foster. Well, his name's first on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the quick scene where they're in the car together and they the main one, Jeff Foster says, have we ever had just you and me in a car together? And then Kevin Heffernan's like, nope, you're pretty boring. And then that's it. And it's true. So I'm glad that they finally made a comment about that. Because there was small things where people saw the first.
Right.
But a broad enough amount of jokes for everybody to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everybody, but people who like comedies.
Well, it had its moments. I like, you know, Rob Lowe. This definitely remind you that Rob Lowe will do anything for a laugh.
Oh yeah, which I respect. Guy LeFranc.
Yeah, like the bad wig. The fact that, you know, he comes in one scene and goes, "Great Tim Hortons ghost," and he says it with such sincerity, and the revelation regarding his character and the Halifax explosion scene, because, you know,
I was okay with those jokes. I was just surprised.
You have to know that's uncomfortable and perhaps like treading on sacred ground. I mean, I've been to Halifax and I've been to the national the museum there where they have all the Titanic exhibit, the Naval Museum in terms of like the, you know, nautical history in the area. And I've been to one of the areas in Halifax where they have just a marker that's basically a mass grave because like so many people died in the Halifax explosion whose remains were never found. They just took this plot of land and put up a marker and said a lot of people died here. So there's that is sensitive road to hoe. Even 100 years after the fact, because you can still go and see these places. And so for Rob Lowe to just, you know, straight face, you know, just deliver that monologue was a thing of beauty.
He's and this film is proof of it. He's doing the same thing as John Hamm, like what we were talking about earlier. He's doing a lot more comedies. Parks and Rec and this. And I think he was in one even more recently. I can't think of it though.
He did something with Fred Savage. He did a TV show with Fred Savage, actually. I think it was The Closer, where he played a lawyer. He was an actor who played a lawyer on TV, and his brother, played by Fred Savage, was a real lawyer.
Well, maybe that's why Fred Savage was in the film. Rob Lowe got
maybe.
Him in there.
Yeah. Rob Lowe was getting Fred Savage work, which I guess. Rob Lowe was on Saturday Night Live in the 80s. And then he kind of did, he went through the Brat Pack phase, and then when the 90s came around, he was doing stuff like Wayne's World. He had like previous experience like doing comedy villainy. And then along comes The West Wing. And so now he's like a serious actor again, and he's kind of come the other way. Funny that I'm thinking about it. Bradley Whitford, also on The West Wing, was the villain in Billy Madison.
Oh yeah.
So I, you know, it's interesting that.
Well, it's like Brian Cox, right? Some actors, you know, go to comedies, go to dramedies, go to critically acclaimed Oscar biopics or whatever. Some people go all over
That's
the place.
That's right. There were two Churchill movies last year, and Brian Cox was in one of them. I remember that. I do like that. I admire that Brian Cox's game just be like the Super Troopers captain and shout orders and do a karaoke scene and you know what, he's funny. I'll give him funny. And I like the Mounties, played by Will Sasso, Tyler Labine, and the other one was Hughes MacArthur, who I don't know. Tyler Labine has done a lot of TV work. Will Sasso is from Mad TV and a lot of comedies.
Mm-hmm. Any U of G people who are in the First Nations film? They were filming at U of G last summer. Mm-hmm. So any U of G person listening, if you were an extra in that film, there was like hundreds picked. That was Will Sasso as the main character. So maybe just check it out for that.
U of G adjacent actor Will Sasso.
Oh, and to any huge comedy fans listening, especially like, you know, bromance type of comedy, Stifler is in this film.
That's right.
I'm not talking about Sean William Scott. I'm talking about Stifler is in this film.
Yeah.
Briefly, but
yeah, that's in the, that was another thing that I like was watching at the beginning, like, what, like, I thought this was about cops. And where they're having this dream sequence about being in a band in a tour bus and getting pulled over by Stifler, played by Sean William Scott. Sean William Scott is someone else who I don't Like, what's he done lately? Let's look him up.
Well, other than American Pie.
Well, he did, like, yeah, everybody came back for that American Pie reunion.
He was in Rain Over Me. Not Rain Over Me. He was in, yeah, I'm not sure.
He was in Goon, The Last of the Enforcers. He does the Goon movies.
Oh, and Goon 2. They did a sequel to it.
Yeah, that was Goon 2. He did an episode of It's Always Sunny in 2013. Yeah, and he's done, like, the
I guess he would have been in American's reunion, too. And that was
American Reunion is 2012. He hasn't done much in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. So, well, another reason he's not in anything else. So go see Super Troopers 2.
He's 2 years older than me, and it's like his life is over. No, he's got a project in post production, so he might be okay. But yeah, it was funny with him. There was a lot of. There was also the tour bus driver in this character after Clifton Collins Jr. And I thought he might end up having a bigger role in this other than just being their tour bus driver. But no, he was just the tour bus driver in this dream sequence. So that was fine. It's I admit that I kind of enjoyed it despite myself. It's not perfect.
I mean, it was not perfect. There was a couple jokes where I didn't even laugh at, and I'm a pretty easy laugher.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
Yeah, there was a couple. Some of the French-Canadian ones were just a little too lame. Some of them, I would understand the Americans laughing at them. There was a couple Canadian jokes that were just too stale for Canadians, I find. That's what I found. Like the sorry thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny, but there is a bit over too much usage of Canadian jabs.
And A.
Yeah, and A.
Yeah, we remember.
Yeah, is a true one, though, the A.
Yeah, A. we remember the what were they called? The McKenzie brothers? Anyway. Mm-hmm. The whole where they were dressed up like the Mounties and giving the Mounties a black eye. Mm-hmm. I thought that went on maybe
a bit too long, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit too long. I think the setup at the beginning with the dream sequence was a bit too long. I think they kind of padded it in place, which is weird because, you know, I feel like they were trying to actually tell, like, a story. This wasn't just about finding an excuse to hang out and do a bit of fan service. It felt like this was a real story they wanted to explore.
Yeah, there's even a bit of romance. An actual kind of almost romance. Enjoyable romance. It wasn't, like, a major part of the plot, but...
Yeah.
It was nice. It was a nice little subplot.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel sorry for Emmanuelle Creakey because she always kind of gets saddled with the girlfriend part.
She does, yeah.
It's, you know, going even to, I think she's probably best well known for Entourage.
Yeah,
Where she gets, I haven't watched Entourage, but I'm aware of sort of the plot developments of Entourage, and she's, I don't think, treated quite fairly in those.
No, not.
But
not. He was okay to her. But I was. Everyone else. Yeah.
What a ringing endorsement.
Well, it's set in Hollywood, right? It's set in Hollywood. So.
It's set in Hollywood pre Me Too. Yeah, that would not fly. Today,
I was just really glad. I was really glad to see how much she was in it.
Yeah, she was.
Because I always enjoy her work, and yeah,
she's fun.
Yeah, and she was the one pretending to be French Canadian.
Yes.
Yeah, and I settled in Ontario pretending to be a French-Canadian, which is quite common.
Yeah. And I like how it's perfectly the film, like, pretty much ends exactly how you expect it to, with everything going back to normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite brazen about that. And, yeah, it's perfectly fun. And I wouldn't think too hard about it. I'm not sure it's like this, like, because going back to what we were saying, it was like kind of advertised like the stoner comedy, and it's not that.
It's not. No, I wouldn't call it a stoner comedy.
No,
I would call it a film that if you are a stoner, you'll probably laugh a bit more if you watch it well stoned. But no, it is not like Pineapple Express, where the main plot focus is on weed. I actually can't think of a single scene where they smoke weed.
Just in the dream sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It was mostly about pill popping. Mm-hmm. There's no holiday for that one.
Yeah, there is some actual acid jokes and things. So.
The acid joke where he suddenly sees everyone in the Kabuki theater, that was hilarious. I enjoyed that. That was borderline racist, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, something 2000s comedies were not I'm bad at. There's...
Yeah, so that might be.
Yeah, that's the one, anyway. One downfall.
Anyway, we'll have to leave it there. And because, well, it's time.
We're past that time.
It's past that time.
But overall, yeah, I think if you like comedies, go see it.
There you go. And if you like End Credits and the show we do, you can find us again on endcreditsradioshow.com. You can find us on social media at End Credits Radio Show, or go to Twitter. That was the Facebook one. On Twitter, you can find us at End Credits Radio. Peter, where can people find you now that you're not scholastically inclined?
Mr. Towerak, which is available on YouTube and Twitter. And Peter Wesley Salmon, moi, is also available on Twitter.
Okay.
And that's it.
And you can find me later on Open Source's Guelph, and that is tomorrow at 5 p.m. And I'll be there with Scotty Hertz to talk about political stuff. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or go to GuelphPolitico.blogspot.ca. You can stay tuned for more great programming here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. And we will be back here next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for more End Credits. We will see you then.